Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you on this Monday morning, October 14 of 2019. My goodness me, there was a lot of sport going on yesterday, and we'll try and bring it all to you now. In the next 30 minutes, it is going to be a tight squeeze. Let's start with probably the biggest story of yesterday, one of our great friends on the Breakfast Club, Scott McLaughlin, finally delivering at Bathurst. His first ever win. He is king of the mountain. Hopefully we can catch him a little later on this morning after plenty of celebrations, I'm sure, last night. To the NBL, good day for the newbies yesterday. The South East Melbourne Phoenix, they've made it 2-from-2, defeating the Brisbane Bullets 113-93.
A steal, Mitch Quinn all the way home. Picks their lunch money and lots of lollies.
Meanwhile, a good effort yesterday by the newbies in the A-League. Western United getting their first ever 3 points. It was a familiar man putting the ball into the back of the net for the win.
Even the likes of Josh Risden, who's been around, as I mentioned before. Jertek playing that pass now. Even Connor Payne, an A-League centurion. Here he is towards the far post. Risden! Edison! And the honour of Western United's first A-League goal goes to a familiar face. Bessar Berisha makes history for Western United. Their first goal in the A-League is scored by the competition's master marksman.
Just a snapshot yesterday of the amount of sport that was on. It is incredible. We'll try and bring it all to you now on the Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
After six as well this morning, the Breakfast Club returns and half returns as well. He'll be joined by Whitey and Scotty on a very busy Monday morning. Liam Santamaria will join us from NBL.com.au. He is part of the commentary team over in the US as the Clippers host Melbourne United. That match to get started in about 60 minutes' time. So he'll join us just 10 minutes before tip-off there. We'll have the early mail for you. A couple of Hall of Famers from this year. Paddy Payton, Byron Cosmatos trying to get you a winner. Just before 7 this morning. Joe Weston to join us from the Diamonds. Disappointing result for them yesterday. Tory Dixon from the Western Bulldogs. We're getting him on to talk racing after he was part of the winning ownership of Super Seth on the weekend. Scott Jamison from Melbourne City, one of our favourites. Chris Tremaine, Victorian fast bowler on what was a pretty dead wicket. And also, we'll try and wake up Scotty McLaughlin from those celebrations after 8 o'clock this morning. So it is a packed show. And there's a lot of sport to get through. That's not even including a few of the other results from overnight, which we'll get to in just a second. Let's start, though, with Bathurst yesterday. And it was an incredible drive from Scott McLaughlin. The nerves were pumping, even for me at home watching him yesterday. He just held on. There were fears he was going to run out of fuel, but a couple of safety cars helped him be conservative over the last couple of laps. And then there was one lap that he had to hold on to. The very last lap of the day, he was able to prevail for his first ever Bathurst win. Scott McLaughlin speaking here on the podium and right after the race.
Can't believe I won the bloody Bathurst 1000. We had such a good car all week. I put so much pressure on myself and our team have put so much pressure on ourselves to make this a good one. And so proud of everyone at Shelby Power Racing. We made a bloody good car. I've dreamt about this, mate. Dreamt about standing on that roof, and this guy, he was unbelievable today in those main drivers and all that. I was a little bit stressed, but...
Can't thank my team enough. They made me into the driver I am today. Everyone that came up through the ranks, my mum and dad, my sister, my fiance Carly's here as well, and all the fans, Shelby Power Red, there's plenty out there, and so glad to do it for Ford, yeah! And then you got the toughest competitor out there, and Shane behind me, and full respect to him, and geez, I just... threw it in over the top and hoped that I had a bit of a gap going down Conrod, and thankfully she held on and we got the W.
More to come from Bathurst throughout the breakfast bite. We'll hear from his co-driver, Alex Premet. We'll also catch up with Shane Van Gisbergen, who finished second, and Garth Tander, who was part of that team as well. But Scott McLaughlin winning the Bathurst 1000 yesterday with co-driver Alex Premet. A brilliant finish and a brilliant drive. Let's head to the A-League now. We'll start with the newbies. Western United yesterday through Besart Berisha, getting their first and only goal of the match, but it was fantastic for them to hold on. 1-0 the final score, and they have registered their first 3 points in the competition. So one win from one game against Mark Redan's old team, Wellington Phoenix, over there yesterday. Meanwhile, there was a late game as well. Perth Glory and Brisbane Roar looked like the Glory were going to get their season off to the perfect start, leading 1-0 in the 94th minute. Then this happened.
Aldred recovers it. O'Shea with a chance late. Amadi Holloway. O'Donovan! A last-second equaliser from Roy O'Donovan! And the Brisbane Roar, do they snatch a point or do they?
They just had to check with the VAR. It was given the all-clear after the flag went up. The goal stood. Perth Glory 1, Brisbane Roar 1, the final score. Let's hear from Robbie Fowler now, the coach of Brisbane Roar, who was pretty happy to walk away with a point.
What's got on my mind? I think it was a game that we deserved to get something out of. I think it just shows you the characters and the quality that we have in our team. You know, playing till the very end. You know, probably a silly mistake for our goal. But listen, the boys were unbelievable in the second half. Come to a place like Perth, who are an incredible team. They have incredible players. They made it really difficult for us. But we got what we totally deserved.
Robbie Fowler there speaking yesterday to Tony Popovich now, who found plenty of positives despite conceding a late equaliser.
Yeah, it's always tough. You know, it was a 94th minute, I believe, that the goals that we conceded. But, I think on reflection, we'll look back and it was a good, very good first half. And second half, we expected to drop off due to our physical condition and the new players and lack of match fitness. I think that's just normal. But, you know, we were under pressure because we couldn't keep the ball, but we didn't really concede any chances in the second half. So, unfortunately, that was their one opportunity and they took it. So, well done to them. And, we take a point and we move on.
Tony Popovich there speaking at yes after the 1-1 draw. Well done, Melbourne United. Will speak to a couple of their marquee players a little later on in the week. Meanwhile, to the NBL now, to the other newbies in town, Southeast Melbourne Phoenix, and their campaign has started brilliantly as well. 2 from 2 they stand at the moment after defeating the Bullets yesterday. Mitch Creek again, fantastic. Simon Mitchell here, the coach, after the win.
Yeah, you're getting a team on the second game of a road trip. You want to play with a little pace, try and lift the tempo and see if you can maybe bury them a little in that fourth. And I thought we did a really good job of that, led by John and Creaky. You know, those guys handling the rock early and creating plays for us and getting us into our stuff is impressive. We had a game plan. It wasn't to give Lamar passing 30, but it was to get them off the three-point line. You know, they're really effective. We had to look through the numbers, and they get 11, they win. They get below 8, they don't win. So we kept them to 7, so we're pretty happy with that. The way we prepared our defense was to make sure that we didn't get beat that way. We gave up a couple low boards, we got kicked out. Sometimes you've got to live with that, but I think for the most part, Stacks put a tremendous scout together for them, and the players bought in. You know, there's trust there that we've built pretty quickly, and tremendously proud of the way the players went about it.
Simon Mitchell there speaking yesterday after another win for the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. Our boys here on the Breakfast Club on RSN 927, they are flying. To John Robinson here after the win.
And the way we move the ball, you see it. Everybody's so unselfish. Everybody's making the extra pass. And it's fun out there to play with these guys. I mean, there's no egos. There's none of that. Everybody just wants to win. So, I mean, you see that through our games. if I had it going tonight, but, I mean, on this team, anybody can get it going. We have multiple guys who can score 30, who can score 25, who can make, you know, multiple threes in a game. So with us, it's kind of like you have to pick your poison. If you double me, you saw what happened when they double me. I make one pass, and the floor just opens up, and we get shooters going and people going downhill. So we're tough to guard. I'm not worried about records, man, as long as we get the win.
The Shield cricket now from yesterday, three matches ending in some interesting results. We'll start with perhaps the most controversial of all, Victoria and South Australia. Victoria, 6 for 616 declared. South Australia, 6 for 671. Fair to say, it was a long, long game. This is what Andrew McDonald, the coach of Victoria, had to say after both captains finally shook hands.
Long. Yeah, obviously nothing was sort of going to transpire on the back of yesterday, and it gets, obviously didn't deteriorate, so there was no real acceleration in that game. Started good and finished good the wicket, so both teams, I suppose, batted well and applied themselves well, which made it difficult for wickets to fall.
So originally your tactics were make as many as you can, try and bowl them out twice?
Yeah, no doubt. I think if you come here day one, and you had a look at the surface, you were thinking that there's potentially the opportunity for it to deteriorate. Didn't have a hell of a lot of grass on it, and it stayed together nicely. So, in some ways, we probably misread how the wicket was going to deteriorate, which can happen. I mean, it's not an exact science, and sometimes, you know, at the toss of the coin, you're expecting things to play out a certain way, and as we know in cricket, sometimes it doesn't happen like that, and that's the way we sort of saw it. It's probably the way it unfolded, and they're fully within their rights to obviously keep batting, which they did, and that's a game, and it's not uncommon for a draw to happen in the game.
They sure did keep batting. The best of the batsmen, Tom Cooper, made 271, not out. Alex Carey, 117. Andrews made 101 for the youngster there. Winter, the not-out batsman at the crease with Cooper on 29, not out from 127 deliveries. So it was very slow going there at the junction, not only on the first couple of days, but for the remaining couple as well. So that match ends in a draw. I could have told you that 2 days ago. Queensland and New South Wales were head-to-head yesterday up in Brisbane. New South Wales finally getting the win after the loss of 5 wickets. So a 5-wicket victory, 5 for 134, chasing down the target in the final innings. Though a couple of the Australian batsmen in Steve Smith and David Warner actually failed again in the second innings. Warner out for a duck after making a ton in the first, and Steve Smith out for 21. Michael Nisa nabbing him. The best of the batsmen, Dan Hughes, who continued his good form from the Marsh Cup, 66 from 109 deliveries. The not-out batsman at the crease, along with Peter Neville, who was 31 not-out from 83 deliveries, to guide New South Wales to that 5-wicket victory. To the other game, Western Australia took on Tasmania. Western Australia 337, then 9 for 383, and Tasmania 397 in their first innings, didn't even get to bat again. So that match ends in a draw as well. It might be a bit of a layoff though for Mitch Marsh. He wasn't happy with his dismissal. He was out for 53, caught and bowled by Jackson Bird in the second innings, went inside the change room, punched a ball. He's going to be out with a broken finger slash hand for a little while, Mitch Marsh. So frustration's boiling over for him. But that match ending up in a draw. He was one of the better batsmen in the second innings. Sean Marsh made 85. Half century for Marcus Stoinis too, who was out for 57. And Ashton Agar was not out, 76 at the crease. So a couple of the better performers there. Jackson Bird, his great shield form continues even through this season as well. 5 for 78 he took. So those are the three Shield results after the opening round. Time for a break on RSN 927. There's still plenty to get through on the other side of this. We'll bring you up to date with all the golf results from overnight, the Formula One from yesterday, the Rugby World Cup where Japan has gone absolutely nuts, netball from yesterday too, with another disappointing result for the Diamonds, a bit of Socceroos action too, and we'll bring you more reaction from an epic Bathurst 1000 yesterday. It's 5:45.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
The crowd, over 70,000, counting down. The siren sounds. History! After the Brighton miracle in 2015 when they beat South Africa, the Shizuoka shock just 2 weeks ago when they beat Ireland. Now,
The brave Bossums of Japan have provided some unbelievable drama in Yokohama. They're through to the Rugby World Cup quarterfinals for the first time ever.
Audio there, courtesy of Fox Sports last night. Japan was going absolutely nuts. 28 points to 21 over Scotland. They're into their first quarterfinals at a Rugby World Cup. They will play South Africa next Sunday. Meanwhile, that means Australia will play England. Very tough task for them coming up this Saturday in the first of the quarterfinals. New Zealand play Ireland and Wales play France in the other quarterfinal. Let's hear now from Japanese coach here, Jamie Joseph, speaking on Fox Sports.
I think you can just sort of look around and see how special a moment this is for our team and for this country. Before I talk about the footy, I really want to acknowledge the families that have lost people in the typhoon today. It really motivated our team. We talked about that this morning as a group, and the players really wanted to play, because whilst we're celebrating tonight, there are a lot of people that aren't. We'd like to acknowledge that. For my team, all the whole World Cup really, is that we've prepared really, really well. They put their bodies on the line every weekend. But tonight they went another level, I felt. They obviously wanted that game as much as the Scottish team did. They gave everything they possibly could. Everyone that entered the game, from our most experienced to our least experienced, gave 150%, and that's what it takes to win a big test matches.
Bit of NRL news from overnight. There has been an incident in Bali involving a couple of Melbourne Storm players. The media statement here issued by the Melbourne Storm. Melbourne Storm has reported an incident involving a member of our NRL squad currently on holidays in Bali to the NRL's integrity unit. Storm has launched a full investigation into what has occurred. Storm takes these type of incidents very seriously and will not be making any further public comment at this time. So a bit of drama there for the Melbourne Storm, who are usually so good in terms of off-field culture. Let's hear from Matt Scott now. He was going to retire at the end of this season. However, the North Queensland and Queensland State of Origin representative suffered a stroke very late on in the season, just the night after playing, I think, in the round 21 fixture for the Cowboys. Let's have a listen to how he's recovering.
Yeah, definitely. So that's an understatement. Huge shock, you know, considering I'd played a game of NRL the night before and then the next day couldn't walk. So it was a little bit scary, but I've had a huge amount of support from both family and the community, and happy with how my recovery's going. I do thank everyone for their support and concern over the last couple of months. Recovery's coming along pretty well. Little hiccup with the shoulder along the way, but it's going to be a long road. I'm certainly not 100% there yet, but the doctor's happy with how I'm progressing and confident I'll get a full recovery.
To a bit of golf from overnight on the European Tour. We'll start there in the Italian Open, where Bernd Wiesberger was good enough to hold this putt on the last, and it was enough to hold on to victory.
Well, a lovely finish from Bernd Wiesberger. He makes his par at the last. It is a closing 65 for the Austrian, and it may well be good enough.
Let's have a listen to what he had to say after the third win of the season.
I've done really well when I was in position, even though it was felt like a long battle today with Matthew playing really good golf out here and really being a golf coach that suits his game. So we felt we needed to get to 15, and it was nice to get one more and just get over the line. But we've just really embraced the challenge when we were in those positions, and embraced just the possibility to be back there. It's just a lovely feeling to be standing here now with three trophies this year. It's surreal.
You've shot to the top of the Race to Dubai rankings now. Is that one of your goals now for the rest of the season?
I mean, this would be amazing. You know, still a lot of points to be played for, and now obviously doing well in the big events in Scotland, in Ireland, and now here obviously helps a lot. But you know, we really try and push ourselves for the last 4 weeks at the end of the year, and hopefully get a chance at the Race to Dubai title as well come the last round.
Bernd Wiesberger finishing at 16 under the card. Matthew Fitzpatrick in second. He had a disappointing back nine to finish at 15 under, one shot behind. Kiriyama was the next best, the American. He was minus 12, three shots behind Matt Fitzpatrick in third position. The best of the Australians, Lucas Herbert, did pretty well in the second and third round in particular, to finish in a tie for 34th. Wade Ormsby in a tie for 40th, and Jason Scrivener in a tie for 55th. The rest of the Aussies didn't make the cut. To the PGA Tour now, where there's a young man doing nice things at the moment. Lanto Griffin leads the way.
Looks like he's sitting down a little bit too.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Bounce it through the rough.
Wow. How good was that?
This is in the Houston Open. The only Aussie to make the cut was Rain Gibson. He's currently in 76th position. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the morning. Not really too many big names at the top of the leaderboard in Houston at the moment, so maybe another first-time winner on the PGA Tour. Good luck trying to tip a winner there. To the netball from yesterday, disappointing result for the Diamonds, going down by a goal. Here's Lisa Alexander after the first match in the Constellation Cup. They now trail the Kiwis 1-0.
Oh, it was another great contest between two, well, we might as well say bitter rivals at the end of the day. It's a bit obviously bitter for us because we came away with a loss and we haven't lost two in a row against the Ferns for a while, so that's bitter. And I think we went away from some areas of our game plan that we had made a commitment to do and got a little bit sucked into the environment that was going on around us. And that'll be a learning, particularly for the new players that are on, that they can't let that distract them from their task. So, look, I was really pleased with the fight back in the third quarter, but we needed to maintain that. I don't necessarily think it was the changes that the Silver Ferns made at three-quarter time. I think we just played into their hands and didn't play smart.
And so getting up that lead, can you elaborate on that? It must be a bit frustrating.
Oh, it's very frustrating. What can I say? I'm sitting on the sideline getting frustrated. Yeah, we've just got to be better. We talked about the fact that at half-time we weren't clean enough. We got penalised too much in the first half. And they tidied up really well in the second half. I was, you know, more pleased with particularly the third quarter, our defence end. So I think the Ferns changed their attacking structure in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter as well, and we didn't adjust to that well enough.
So the final score there in the Constellation Cup, 53-52, another heartbreaking loss for the Diamonds. So the Formula One Grand Prix from overnight, this was in, yesterday afternoon, it was in Japan. Valtteri Bottas winning, Vettel in second and Hamilton in third. It means Mercedes claim the Drivers' Championship and Lewis Hamilton, another world championship for him. So a bit of an anticlimax there, it has been for the entire season. The Socceroos, meanwhile, after defeating Nepal on Thursday, 5-0, now face Chinese Taipei in the second of this stint of World Cup qualifiers. They've just arrived, and this was Craig Goodwin on arrival.
Yeah, so we arrived last night in, I guess, separate groups with the boys at different flights. So, yeah, obviously arrived last night, and today me and Demi are here doing the promo with the kids, so getting up a bit of a sweat, but, yeah, raring to go.
Promos such as this or hanging out with kids is something you would have done a little bit in your time at Adelaide United. So it's really important to give back a little bit to the community when you play these sorts of games.
Definitely. And I think it's important, obviously, at club level, but international as well, because, you know, I guess these kids kind of look up to us as well and see us as role models. So for us, it's important to give back to the community and, I guess, always remember where we've come from.
Socceroos to face Chinese Taipei tomorrow at about 10:40 p.m. Let's finish with another reflection on Bathurst yesterday after Scott McLaughlin was able to secure his first ever victory in the famous event. Alex Premet was his co-driver, and this is what he had to say after the win.
That was so stressful in the sea. That was insane. Everything here was gambling, and that was crazy. So happy for Shelby Power to win this race, especially with DJ Tim Penske. It's been 25 years that he didn't win Bathurst, so yeah, it's magic.
the co-driver of Scotty McLaughlin there and Alex Premett after the win. It was an epic Bathurst 1000 yesterday. That's it for the Breakfast Bite. There was a hell of a lot to squeeze in. Hopefully we did it justice. Plenty to come on the Breakfast Club too. Liam Santa Maria over in the US before United take on the Clippers. The early mail, Joe Weston from the Diamonds, Troy Dixon, Caulfield Guineas winning owner, Scott Jamieson from Melbourne City, Chris Tremaine from Victoria. Plus we'll try and catch up with Scotty McLaughlin this morning as well. So there is plenty to come on a very busy Monday morning. Half, Whitey and Scotty up next.